Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Well, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. How many of you stayed up till midnight on New Year's Eve? Come on now. How many said, I didn't feel like it? That's what, for young people, I don't do that. I went to bed at normal time. Who did not stay up till midnight? That's a better question. Good for you, Flavio. Come on, who needs it, right? Nothing going on. It's the same ball that drops every single time anyway, right? And you got all these people that, these washed up singers singing in New York Times Square. It's like, we don't need that. Now, we did stay up and watch the ball drop, so we watched all the wash-up singing. No, all of our boys are old enough now to where they actually want to stay up till midnight. So we get the sparkling cider, the Martinellis, and we had the little, you know, plastic glasses, and they were so excited. I was like, I'm ready for bed. Let's go to bed right now. But we watched the ball drop, and then the kids held their Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. It was great. And we prayed the old year out and prayed the new year in. And that's what we did. And it's a new year. And like I said earlier, I'm excited for 2026. And in some ways, I'm glad that 2025 has been put to bed. How many would raise their hand in agreement and say, I'm glad that 2025 has been put to bed? Nice and high, so the Lord sees it too, right? I see people with two hands up. For, like I said, for some of us this year, 2025 was filled with some of our most challenging situations. And I would say that for my own life. 2025 had some of your most gut-wrenching heartaches. Your most stressful circumstances. It's very easy to say, and for many of us, very true. But to be honest, like I've already mentioned today, this new year, just because the calendar has changed, this new year, you could lose your job. Your car could still break down in 2026. You could still get shingles or whatever. And even with all that happening, it would still be a better year for you than 2025. Because that's the kind of year it was. And oftentimes, especially around New Year's, you got the resolutions and you say things like, we'll all say things like, this is going to be my year. You know, new year, new me. You know, things are going to be different this year. That's how I felt at the end of 2019 and starting in 2020 for our church. This is going to be Coastline's year, baby. Yeah, right when we started. 2020 was not my year. It was nobody's year. And truthfully, yes, each time we celebrate a new year. And as Christians, we commit, hopefully, that new year to God. We can work out more. We can eat better. We can create new disciplines. We can read more. And all those resolutions that we might write down, we can do those. And those are all good things and important things. But more than likely, those tough times in 2025 that you faced, I would venture to say that most of those difficult, stressful times that you faced last year were out of your control anyway. Yes, maybe some of those things we created of our own, you know, doing. But most of those gut-wrenching heartaches that you faced last year were out of your control. And 2026, for the most part, will also be out of your control. And can I say, that's okay. That's okay. How is that okay? Because God is in control. Amen. Hey, I'm going to say that again. I hope people are listening. God is in control. Amen. Jesus reigns in your life. Jesus. It's all about Jesus, the Son of God who was God. And before we jump into the message, let me tell you what I know about Jesus. And listen, I've said this before in church, and we have many people that are new to church. If I'm preaching something that you agree with, you can say amen. You can say that's right. I don't care what you do. You can let me know that you agree and that you're listening to me. Let's practice. God is good. Amen. Well, I confused you there. That's okay. That's okay. All right. See? Let's try. God is good. And then you say all the time. Okay, now that we know it, I messed you up there. That's okay. It's just a 2026 test. Let's try it again. God is good.
All the time.
All the time?
That's good.
Great. Now, if I say something besides that one phrase, because that one's kind of locked in already, we know that. But if I say, God is faithful.
Amen.
Hey, not bad. God is true.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that one. Someone threw in a yeah. I like that. Down south, they'll say things like, shake that bush, preacher, or park there a minute. You don't got to say any of that because we're Northeastern here, okay? We're New Englanders. But we're talking about Jesus today.
Amen.
Okay, it's 2026. God is in control. Jesus reigns in your life. Listen, here's some things I know about Jesus as we jump into this message. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is my truth. He is my rescue. He is the source of my joy. He is peace. He is what you need when you know that you need Him. And He is what you need when you don't know that you need Him. He is everything that we'll ever need. He is the only thing that I'll ever need. If I lose everything else in my life and I still got Jesus, I'm okay. He's the bearer of my burden. He is forgiveness for my past, the grace for my present, and the hope for my future. He is the helper of my heart. Hey, Jesus is the lover of my soul. He is the friend that will never leave. He is the father that will never fail. He is the savior my soul needs. Just sing on today. He is the light in my darkness, the strength in my weakness, the healer of my hurts. He brings peace. He speaks conviction. He calls me. He calls you to greater things. He speaks painful truth to the lines of my heart. He soothes a soul in distress. He tells me who I really am and who I can be. He brings new life, new beginnings, and second chances. That's Jesus, church. Amen. That's Jesus. And what better way to start this new year, to grow as individual believers, than by rejoicing over the new life that is found in Jesus. Go to John chapter 11. John, the book of John, the Gospel of John. If you need a Bible, there should be some scattered kind of in the seats. If not, go into your phone. You can go to the, I don't care, you got to maybe have a Bible app, or you can just go to Google and type John 11. And you can find it and follow. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures today. John 11 and verse 1. And my precious, beautiful wife brought me some water. John 11. We're going to tell a story. It's not a story. It's a true account. But one of the miracles of Jesus. John chapter 1. John chapter 11 and verse number 1. We're all there. I don't hear any more pages turning. Verse 1 of John 11 says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, where he lived, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." This is family members, cousins of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So this is not good. We see already in chapter 11, verse 1, this is not good. This is a major problem here. Their brother, Mary and Martha, these two sisters, their brother, Lazarus, is sick. And not like sick, like it's been going on in the Cape a little bit. We've got sniffy noses and all that other stuff. We're talking sick, sick, sick. And the solution that Mary and Martha, these two sisters, have is a very good one. We got to get Jesus. He can fix this. Jesus can fix this. We see it as we go on. And I'll read along. Verse 2, this is Mary that which anointed the Lord with ointment. Verse 2, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, verse 3, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, sent word to Jesus. There was no cell phones or text message. They had to find a way to get word to Jesus. Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. In verse number 4, it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is his family. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. So, Jesus gets word that his cousin, his close friend, cousin, Lazarus, is very sick unto death. And Jesus says, this is for a purpose, this is for God to get glory, and he stays in the same place. He does not go. He waits to go. And we see as we move down through the chapter, as he waits to go, He already knows what's going to happen. And it says down here in verse number 11, these things said he after that he saith to him, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Verse 12, then it said to the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Like, oh, if he's just tired, then he'll be fine. This is great. No, we don't even need to rush. And then Jesus says in verse number 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. So his disciples, like you'll see a lot in the Gospels, the disciples are always misunderstanding things. They're always kind of, it's going right over their head. And Jesus decides to just get really straight to the point with them in verse number 12. Then said Jesus unto them plainly to his disciples, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. So now there's no reading between the lines here. Jesus is being very clear cut with them because they're thinking, oh, he's sleeping. Oh, then, yeah, he's fine then. He said, no. Okay, you're missing it. Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So Jesus says, listen, he's dead, and I'm glad that I wasn't there to keep him from dying because something bigger is going to happen. Something is going to help your faith grow. Verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days in the tomb. Not grave like we have now, 6 feet under. I'm talking like in a tomb, in a cave with the stone rolled over or whatever. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. The mourning time for the people of Israel, especially at this time, was much different than the funerals we have here in America today. There was long time of mourning, days. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. She went out to meet him as he was coming. But Mary, her sister, just sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, and let's not knock Martha for her spirit here. It's very easy sometimes you'll hear a preacher say, oh, Martha didn't have any faith. What she says? She says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And at first you can think, man, what's, but look what she says in verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She said, yes, if you had been here, he wouldn't be dead. But even still, whatever you say will happen. Martha says, if you've been here. Listen, and by the way, maybe this first part of Martha's greeting really to the Lord, this statement, maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been there in your life when something happens unexpectedly. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You're trying to follow God and obey God and do what he says and trust him. And maybe something happened in your life and you have asked questions like, God, how could you let this happen to me? God, where are you? Well, I've asked that question. God, what are you doing? What are you doing right now? Why is this happening? Because we don't see the whole picture God is painting, because we can't see everything God is doing, because we can't see the whole picture God's painting, we just want to throw out the whole canvas. We don't even want to see what God's going to do because our hearts are hurting. We are humans. And by the way, asking God why isn't wrong. It's not wrong to ask God why. Demanding a reason why can very quickly turn into sin. You've got to tell me why this happened, God. Why are you doing this to me? Give me a reason now. Listen, we see the problem, not the plan. We see the moment of pain, not the miracle that's going to follow. We see the heartache that's there. We feel the heartache that's there, not the heart change that's coming. And Martha here is speaking from a broken heart. And Jesus is so gracious to her. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And she's thinking, well, yeah, obviously one day, you know, everybody that says is going to rise and go to heaven. And she's thinking Jesus is being kind of metaphorical here. And Jesus is like, no, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus speaks hope to her in regards to her problem. And she still doesn't really get it when he's trying to help her. Hey, he's going to rise again. He tells her that not only can he give life, but he is life. Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. I can bring you back to life because I am life. And for us, I can. Jesus says, I can fix your marriage because I'm the sure foundation for marriage. I can help your insecurities because I can be your identity. I can tear down walls of bitterness in your heart because I am love. I am the ultimate restorer. Death to life is what I do. And that's what Jesus speaks to us. He is life. Verse 32, then when Mary was come, this is the other sister, she had been in the house, when she come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down on his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So now the other sister comes out and says the same thing. They're brokenhearted. Their brother died. Their cousin is Jesus Christ, who had performed many miracles to this point, healed many sick, had even given dead people life. They knew what he was capable of. This is their family. They're like, of course he's going to come and save Lazarus, who he grew up with, his cousin. But no, he didn't. He stayed where he was for two extra days. Lazarus had already died and has been in the tomb for 4 days. And they're upset and they're brokenhearted. And many of you can relate to this. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. In verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, just two words, but very powerful, and it's simply, Jesus wept. John 11:35, Jesus wept. And I've heard preachers take this scripture and say, well, he was weeping because they didn't believe, and blah, 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 blah. And I don't think that's the case. I think Jesus, when he was on earth, on purpose, did his best to relate to us as all God and all man. And I believe Jesus was grieving with his cousins over his loved one. He saw others weeping, and Lazarus was dead, and he saw their broken heart, and he wept with them. The scriptures say, weep with those who weep. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saying to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days. He's not going to smell good. And Jesus, Jesus saith unto her, verse 40, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, look at verse 43, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound with hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. This is how they wrapped the bodies back then. So he's all covered up in grave clothes over his body, over his hands and feet and body and his face. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. A miraculous event. A true story. A literal dead man brought back to life through the power of God. And church, let me tell you this morning, the same power that breathed life into the dust of the earth and created Adam breathed new life into Lazarus. It's incredible. The carpenter's son from Nazareth, Jesus Christ, who used to build furniture with his dad, came to the tomb 4 days after a man has died. He weeps over the loss, has them roll away the stone, and calls out his name.
This dead man, wrapped in grave clothes, suddenly wakes up from the sleep of death, hearing in his ears, sight in his eyes, probably wondering what's going on because his face is covered. Like, what is going on? He's wrapped around his head. And a few days earlier, think about this for Lazarus. A few days earlier, he remembers probably dying, taking his last breath, more than likely surrounded by his family and loved ones. Probably had already said his goodbyes. The funeral is over and they're still mourning. And suddenly, he is swinging his legs over the edges of the stone that his body was laid on. He stumbles out into the light where his family unwraps his body of the grave clothes. What excitement, what joy! Can you just hear with your mind's ear, hear the cries of happiness? Can you hear the laughter as people say, "He's alive! We watched him die! We wrapped his body! We put the stone in front of the grave!" Can you see the smiles all around, the faces of amazement? What a miracle. And through this story, we see that Jesus brings new life. Just his words, "Lazarus, come forth," and new life comes. So where are you at today? Have you grown accustomed to just going through the motions in life? Sure, you're saved. You know, many of you, I know the Lord. You've been saved. Many of you have been baptized even recently. You're saved, but you're nowhere near the abundant life in Jesus Christ. And what you need is new life. What you need is Jesus to change your life. Hey, for many of you, he's changed your destiny. He's changed and secured your eternity with Christ in heaven one day. He's forgiven you of your sins, but your growth has stunted. Your walk with God is struggling. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't share the gospel really in any aspect. You live carelessly. You live apathetically. The story of the prodigal son and the older brother. The prodigal son went and did whatever he wanted and spent his father's inheritance. The older brother always did the right thing but had a bad attitude and was very self-righteous. And some of you are right in between that. You're here at church, but your heart really is kind of being pulled in many directions. And the truth is, for many of us, we've been saved for a long time, but we have grown so unaware of the presence of God that we live without his guiding hand. We go to church, we do the things, we sing, we follow the bouncing ball and sing the songs. We may even raise a hand, but our hearts are far from him. Problems still abide, heartache still resides in our heart, loneliness still haunts you, insecurity still reigns in your soul, stress obviously is always going to show up, impatience is still around, temptation still knocks on your door, bitterness still binds some of you, unforgiveness is still a part of some of you, anxiety is still gripping your heart, fear is still looming in your mind. And listen, what I'm trying to say is this: you know the Lord, but many of these things you're still facing. How long you believed in Jesus doesn't change you. Only Jesus changes you. "But I've been saved for 40 years. But have you grown at all? "But I've been at Cosine since you started for 4, 5, 6 years. But have you grown at all?" Just because you've been in church for 20 years of your life, or like me, your entire life, since ever, I can remember I was at church every single Sunday, my attendance to church does not make me close to God. Me doing a bunch of things, a bunch of religious church things, does not make me close to God, does not help me know God more. We sang it today. "Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better." It's about Jesus. Jesus is the one who brings new life into a dying marriage. Jesus is the one who gives grace to the worried parent. Jesus is the one who gives hope to the discouraged pastor. Jesus is the one who gives wisdom to a young church. He's the one who gives peace to the anxious soul. He's the one who gives guidance to the wandering heart. He's the one with all the answers. And the answer across the board is his name, Jesus. It's Jesus. Every time, it's Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are his workmanship. We are his creation. His masterpiece created in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus brings new life. And maybe you're here today and you've never given Jesus your heart. Maybe you know about God. Maybe you even believe in God. But you've never done and heard what the scriptures and what the Bible says about salvation in Jesus Christ. The scriptures say in Ephesians 2, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't get to heaven by being a good person, by doing good things. Because if that were the case, nobody would get there. Because the scriptures say we all have sinned. Romans 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's a lot of great people in this room. People that are trustworthy, that are kind. Kindness doesn't get you to heaven. Trustworthiness doesn't get you to heaven. Giving to the poor does not get you to heaven. Praying a bunch of rosary beads does not get you to heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was God, died on the cross, carried a cross up to Golgotha on his back, was mocked, was spit upon, his beard ripped from his face, a crown of thorns pressed upon his head, nailed to a cross, an innocent man who had done nothing wrong but help people, the Son of God, crucified, killed, murdered. And the scriptures say he took the sins of the world upon himself. He took the punishment that you and I deserve. For all have sinned, the scriptures say, and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, the payment, the price, the wages of sin is death. But Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth. He showed, he proved his love to us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ, Jesus Christ, died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the scriptures say in Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So remember, it's not up to us to work our way to heaven. There's nothing you can do that'll get you to heaven. It's what Jesus has already done. He died, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, defeated death, sin, hell, and the grave. Jesus is the answer for your life and for your eternity and for your marriage and for your kid and for everything else. He brings new hope. He brings second chances. He brings real change. And the challenge for 2026 for Coastline is look to him. Look to Jesus this year. Jesus is working in this church. You've seen, we just saw it a few weeks ago. 14 going in the baptism waters. What an amazing, miraculous thing for our church. God is at work. And he's working in you. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ and you're lost, and if you die, you don't know where you go. You would hope you go to heaven. You don't have to hope. You can know. You can know that heaven is your home. You can have a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, by just giving your heart to him, by asking him to forgive you of your sins and save you and come into your heart and give him your life and give him your heart. It's about him. Jesus wants to speak new life into your life. And Christian today, who's already saved but kind of going through the motions, he wants to breathe new life into you. You need him more than you could ever realize. So will you admit lifelessness in your Christian life? Some of you need to just be willing to start the new year off. You know what? My Christian life has been a little lifeless. I've been working, providing, doing my thing, driving around, just living life, ignoring the presence of God. And when you are willing to admit that, like, hey, my life, my Christian life, my walk with God, my relationship with Christ is a little lifeless, you can look to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you to change me. It's a new day. There's new grace. The scriptures say his mercies are new every morning. There's new opportunities. At the end of this year, just think about it. This year's going to fly by like every other one we've had, right? Although 2025 felt kind of slow. It's over, though. It's done. It's gone. We're in a new year. And in 12 months, when we get to the end of 2026, what testimonies will you have? What miracles? Because guess what? Even though 2025 was a tough year, I can still look back and take you to places during last year, a difficult year, a year of heartache, a year of stress, a year of difficult circumstances. I can still take you back and point to where God was there and God carried me through and God led me and led my family through dark days by His grace. I can show you those times. I can bring you back to the place. God is with us. So at the end of this year, you start today. I'm committing my year to God. I'm committing my year to Christ. If you're lost, hey, you can say, I'm giving my heart to Jesus. I want to be saved today. If you're a Christian and you already know the Lord as your personal Savior, you can say, listen, I don't want to have a lifeless Christian walk this year. No, I want God to work in me. And at the end of this year, you'll be able to look back with testimonies, with miracles, with answers to prayer. I want to look back this year and watch how God works in my four boys and say, wow, look how much Donald has grown in his faith. Look how much little Brady has strengthened his walk with God. Look at what God's done in our marriage, how He's brought us closer together. We've been married 15 years, but look what God is still doing. Hey, look what God has done in Coastline over 2026. I want to be able to look back and point and say, wow, look at everybody that got saved. Look at all those that got baptized. Look at all those who brought friends and family to church and their lives were changed. Listen, that's what I want. I don't want to get stagnant. I don't want to get bored. I don't want to get lazy. No, I want new life in Christ every day. Every day this year. Let's make today, every day, every moment about Jesus. He is worthy and He is life. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.